Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. Consolidating schools is something that Sitka has done before. The former Mount Edgecombe Elementary School is now an office building on Alice Island. The Edelin Street School is now an apartment building. School closures in Juneau next year mean that the community will also have buildings to repurpose or leave sitting empty. The City and Borough of Juneau is now seeking proposals from community organizations to fill that space. City Manager Katie Coaster says that could mean using it for childcare, housing, or anything that might benefit the community.
These are public facilities, and it's quite a bit of square footage that's available, and the Assembly is really curious in what public benefit these facilities could bring.
The two buildings open for proposal are Floyd Dryden Middle School in the Mendenhall Valley and the Marie Drake Building downtown. Since voting to take over those buildings, the Juneau Assembly has openly discussed using one of them as a new home for City Hall. Coaster says that's still an option, but the Assembly is currently leaning toward moving all City Hall employees to the building that houses the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation instead. That plan still needs to be finalized and approved by the Juneau Assembly.
Those negotiations will take some time, so I don't consider that like a final decision from the Assembly. They definitely are leaning that way, but they also want to see what the other uses could be for Marie Drake and Floyd Dryden.
Coaster says the city will consider factors like how much the proposals for those buildings would cost the city, along with space and parking needs. She says that could also inform the Assembly's decision on where it might move City Hall. The city will officially take over the buildings on July 1st. Alaska Native boarding schools are a part of Alaska Native history, but with a mixed legacy. For some students, they were a positive experience. KCAW has reported on tribal elders like the late Isabella Brady, who grieved the loss of the Sheldon Jackson College in Sitka. But for many others across the state who came of age in the 1940s, 50s, and early 60s, Native boarding schools have been a lifelong source of pain and trauma. The National Native Boarding School Healing Coalition has sent a team across the country to collect stories from boarding school survivors. As KNBA's Rhonda McBride reports, they spent last week in Anchorage to listen and learn.
About 20 people came to the Alaska Native Heritage Center to share their stories about boarding school abuse, some for the very first time.
I don't know why I'm telling you, and I said, because we asked.
Denise Lajmadeer helped to found the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition because of the trauma her parents experienced. Her father was 9 years old when he was sent to the Chamawa boarding school after his mother died in the 1918 flu epidemic. He told her he was never hugged nor never shown any love while he was there, but instead experienced harsh discipline.
Papa was pretty free with his belt, but that's the way they learned to parent.
And how the trauma was passed on. Lajmadeer is one of the oral historians for this project. She's heard more than 100 different stories, and she's heard bits and pieces of Jim LaBelle's story when he served on the Healing Coalition's board.
We need to sit down. I've said that for a couple years. I'm glad that he will get his story recorded formally, that his kids and great-grandkids and anyone that wants to know what happened to us at boarding schools, they'll be able to access his story.
A story about how he was taken away from his family when he was 8 years old and sent to the Wrangell Institute with his younger brother Kermit. A story that wasn't always well-received nor believed.
A lot of people saying, including some of our own Native people saying, that happened a long time ago, get over it. So how do you get over losing ties to your family? And how do you get over losing your identity?
But LaBelle kept telling his story so that others could tell their stories. He's told it many, many times, like at this conference in Wrangell in 2022. He described how small children were stripped down naked when they first arrived, shaved so they were bald, and hosed down in a group. And if they didn't understand how to bathe themselves?
Another matron would use another little child as an example by taking a floor brush with lye soap and scrubbing this little child until parts of his skin bled.
The children were then given a number, which the matrons preferred to use instead of their names. In a hearing last fall, LaBelle told Interior Secretary Deb Haaland that the abuse didn't stop there.
Matrons were sodomizing boys in their beds or in the bathrooms. We saw girls going home in the middle of the school year pregnant, and a lot of these kids are like 11, 12, 13 years old.
Not all children in Native boarding schools suffered abuse, and in more recent years, the boarding school experience has been positive for many. But what happened to Native children decades ago is different. When they were taken from their families and forced to attend religious and government schools. It is what Indigenous researchers like Benjamin Jasek call one of America's best-kept secrets.
In order to heal, we need to know what we're healing from.
I'm hoping my story, collectively with all the others that are gathered together, will go way into the future so that future historians and researchers and policymakers can see the harm that was done.
These kinds of things are never the end, they're the beginning of a new future for all of Alaskan Native peoples.
Jim LaBelle believes boarding school trauma is the root cause of many of the social ills that afflict our state.
It's kind of multifaceted. Boarding school contributed to the homelessness issues that we've had for the last 40, 50 years in our major cities. Personally, I have had a lot of close friends and relatives go to the streets after boarding school, and a lot of them died on the streets.
LaBelle believes boarding schools also contributed to Alaska's high rate of missing and murdered Indigenous people. He says shedding light on this dark chapter of history may ultimately help more than just the survivors and their families, but our whole state. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
The Alaska House of Representatives passed a bill on Wednesday that would put more guardrails on the property assessment process in the state. As KTOO's Clarice Larson reports, supporters say the bill will make the process more fair and transparent for taxpayers.
Last year, many residents in Juneau and Haines said they saw steep jumps in their property assessments, large enough that some questioned whether their assessors were being transparent and fair. Representative Julie Coulomb, an Anchorage Republican, sponsored a bill that she says would tackle some of their concerns.
HB 347 put some baseline requirements in place to protect the taxpayer while preserving the important principle of local control.
The bill would stop assessors from raising a property's value during an appeal, establish new certification standards for assessors, and require a response from the government if you present an appraisal that doesn't match theirs. It also changes the default for who hears tax appeals to an appointed board of equalization instead of the municipality's locally elected officials. Some residents have also urged the legislature to cap how much the assessed value of a property can go up, but neither this bill nor a companion bill in the Senate does that. Representative Sarah Hannon, a Juneau Democrat, calls it a, quote, fairly clean-cut bill and says it only aims to standardize the appeal process in municipalities across the state, not expand the state's tax authority.
It simply sets up standards to make sure that citizens are treated fairly and have a recourse. And if someone says they're an assessor establishing the tax for you, that you know that they've met a professional standard of governance.
The bill did see some pushback. Representative Jesse Sumner, a Wasilla Republican, argued that putting limits on raising values after appeals could incentivize more people to file them. And he fears big landowners could find new ways to game the system.
I think that we may inadvertently be causing a lot of headache for our local governments in relation to those very large property taxpayers.
But the bill sailed through the House on Wednesday with a wide bipartisan majority, and with Juneau's delegation speaking strongly in favor. The House reconsidered the bill on Friday afternoon, but passed it again. The bill now heads to the Senate. Senator Jesse Kuehl, a Juneau Democrat, introduced a nearly identical bill in the Senate earlier this year. He says he's optimistic the bill will have support there. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And coming up for you next, I'll have a look at the weather for Sitka.
¶¶
and taking a look at the weather for Sitka for today, Monday, April 29th, 2024. Patchy fog before 10 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 53. West wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 39. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. You're tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.
This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock. We're headed into NPR headlines and Alaska.